Chapter 9. "Yeah, but that doesn't matter anyway," Skippy replied to Chotek's question about whether the Theranin or even Max Sulks would be guarding any other conduits they knew about. "Having those rotten kitties waste time and resources guarding conduits actually helps us a bit. They will have fewer ships looking for us. The two conduit sites at Barsoom and Bravo are the only ones we can reach. All the rest I know about would take too long for us to get there. The ship will break down long before we got there, and the recent stunt we did jumping through a wormhole shortened the remaining life of our reactors even more. The jump drive came through the trauma okay, but the particle feed systems in the reactors were skewed out of phase. I'm using a temporary fix that means the reactors will run hotter and burn a lot more fuel." Chotek pursed his lips the way he did when he heard bad news. He had been using that gesture a lot since we left Earth. "Is there a more permanent solution? We get access to a major heavy-duty shipyard?" Skippy responded sarcastically. "Or we get a new starship. Okay, after we find a conduit, and I'm restored to my usual level infinity awesomeness, there may be some things I can do to stretch out the life of the reactors. In the long run, though, this ship has gone far too long without a major overhaul, and we have put the poor Flying Dutchman through a whole lot of crazy shit she wasn't designed to do."
"Understood," Chotek nodded gravely. "Mr. Skippy, you have only mentioned potential conduit sites within Max Sulks' territory. While I am very reluctant to take actions that could be viewed as hostile by the Rindaloo Coalition, could we expand our search in that direction?
I think we crossed the bridge of hostile action when we planted fake Elder artifacts on Paradise and caused the Ruhar and Jarattha to shift their entire defensive in that sector," Skippy remarked dryly. "I wasn't restricting my search to the Max Sulks Coalition. We aren't able to reach any of the potential conduits in Rindaloo territory, so I didn't mention any of them."
Chotek tilted his head to one side and ran a finger along one cheek slowly. It was my impression he was trying to think how to respond. He was not happy Skippy had been considering raids in Rindaloo territory without Chotek's approval, but now that Chotek himself had authorized exploring the concept, he couldn't complain a whole lot.
"Very well. Colonel Bishop."
I instinctively sat up straight in my chair.
"Sir? We are now on plan... what is it? I assume we do have other options.
This would be plan, I almost had to count on my fingers.
C, I guess?
We do have one other option for finding one of these sort of conduit gizmos. There is a known Elder star system we can reach from here by only two wormhole transits. It's in the Perseus arm, beyond the Rosette Nebula. As I said that, I don't know why I bothered. Nobody aboard the ship had any idea where that nebula was without looking at a star chart. That didn't matter anyway. That's roughly 9,000 light-years from our current position."
"A known Elder star system?"
Both of Chotek's eyebrows almost met his hairline.
"Not merely a site with abandoned relics? Tell me, Colonel Bishop, why did we not consider this place when we were attempting to find other Elder artifacts, such as the power tap we needed on our Paradise mission?"
"We didn't consider it because I didn't tell Joe or anyone else about it," Skippy answered before I could speak. "I didn't tell anyone because... well, I figured I would need to be totally desperate before I even considered going to that place. Now, I am totally desperate, so,
Surprise!"
He chuckled nervously.
"What do we know about this star system?"
Chotek directed his request to me rather than Skippy, and his expression was anything but amused or friendly. I grimaced.
That is the part Skippy said I would hate. I asked him to wait until the command crew was assembled before he explains what the issue is. What I know is this conduit gizmo Skippy needs is likely there.
I didn't say it was likely to be there, Joe, Skippy interjected peevishly. What I said was if we're going to find one anywhere at this point, this Elder star system is absolutely the best candidate.
The best candidate we can reach before 0 hour, I mean.
It is not likely that we'll find a conduit there? I demanded, angry at being duped.
Maybe 50-50, Joe.
That's a little ambitious. Probably more like 40-45% chance we'll find an active conduit there. Then I need to figure out how to access it, if I even can. Overall, we're looking at a 20% chance of us finding a working conduit there.
Yeah, 20% sounds about right.
Could be less, he admitted cheerily.
20 freaking percent?
I shook my head, avoiding Chotek's glaring eyes. You want us to go on a dangerous wild goose chase with 80% probability of failure?
Hey, Mr. Genius, Skippy snarked back at me. We went to Barsoom and Bravo, even though I figured the odds of us recovering a working conduit at each of those places was less than 5%. I didn't hear you bitching about those odds when...
Which, I just realized I might have neglected to tell you about. My bad. Sorry.
Jesus, Smythe whispered from his seat beside me.
And now we're just supposed to trust you.
Well, I was pissed at him. We don't even know what else you haven't told us.
Hey, unless we find a conduit and I can use it, our odds of survival are zero, Joe. Zero, he repeated for emphasis. So 20% is a big improvement.
Besides, the Merry Band of Pirates has faced worse odds before and succeeded. It's what you do. I don't know how you do it, drives me freaking crazy, but you do it. Somehow.
I couldn't argue with that.
Chotek briefly closed his eyes wearily and pinched the bridge of his nose. If he didn't have a headache already, he was going to get one soon.
Mr. Skippy, please tell us what you know of this star system.
Now we're getting somewhere, Skippy said happily, his avatar rubbing its hands together.
This is an elder star system. By that I mean it is known to have been inhabited by the elders, and it is thought substantial elder facilities and assets still exist there.
It is thought? Chotek raised an eyebrow.
We don't know?
My memories are kind of vague, Skippy admitted. And there is little additional data available because, well, no ship sent there has ever returned. The Maxalks, Rindaloo, Theranen, many other species have sent ships there, and these ships have never been heard from since.
Yet you propose that we go there?
Chotek's skepticism matched my own.
I call this star system Hotel California, Skippy explained. You know, you can check out, but you can never leave.
He chuckled at his own joke.
Hotel California, Sergeant Adams scoffed. With Max Oaks and Theranin ships trapped there, we should call it the Roach Motel. Roaches check in, I finished her thought. But they don't check out.
Skippy, do you know why ships can't leave this Roach Motel?
We should call it Hotel California, Joe, he sniffed.
No, I do not know why ships never return from there.
I like the name Roach Motel better, I declared.
Are we talking about a handful of ships or a lot more?
Oh, hundreds, Joe, at least. The first recorded expedition was by the Rindaloo, of course. They tried many, many times to uncover the secrets of that star system. At first, they jumped ships in from far outside the system. Typical cautious recon technique. Those ships disappeared, and later, the gamma-ray bursts of their inbound jumps were not detected. The Rindaloo knew those ships had jumped into the system successfully, so the lack of gamma rays told them the remote images they had of the system were false. All they could be certain of was the gravity well of the star, and the Rindaloo were able to detect gravity signatures of 3 gas giant planets. That is all they could be certain of, and they did not know whether the elders could fake gravity waves. After the initial recon ships disappeared, the Rindaloo tried everything they could think of. They jumped ships first a light year away, then closer and closer. Then they sent ships the slow way through normal space, and every time they got the same results. When ships were between half and a quarter light year from the star, they simply disappeared. Probes, even nanotechnology, nothing came back. They even tried hiding probes inside comets and meteors and sending them into the system. Results were the same. Signals were cut off after the object was between one-half to one-quarter light-year from the star. The Rindaloo try again every once in a while. Their last attempt to send a ship to the Roach Motel was 96,000 years ago. All the major starfaring species have tried and failed to recon that system. The last attempt that I know about was a squadron of specialized Theranin ships from their Advanced Research Directorate around 400 years ago. Those ships also were never heard from again. At the time, it was a major scandal that nearly resulted in ARD being folded into their military research group. Why hasn't everyone given up? I asked.
Because
If that star system has intact Elder technology, it would be an enormous prize to capture. And, because every couple hundred or thousand years, some jackass gets a bright idea of how to succeed where everyone else failed. You biologicals always let your egos get you into trouble. It's kind of a catch-22 situation, Joe. Because no one has useful data about what is truly in that star system, no one can design a ship or probe to successfully bring back data. What do we know about it? I asked. We must be able to see something there, even with long-range telescopes, right? No. Joe, a long time ago, the Maxalks had the genius idea to send ships there equipped with devices that could temporarily alter the output of the star. Essentially, the Maxalks planned to use the star to send signals, transmit data. Even if their ships couldn't get out, the star could provide data to the Maxalks outside the system. Sort of a complex Morse code, using the outer layer of the star as a transmitter. It didn't work, I guessed. It didn't work the way the Maxalks planned. The star's output was altered, but the signal was garbled, the results meaningless. To this day, the Maxalks are trying to decode that signal, hoping there is some meaning buried in it. After that incident, the output of the star had been steady. Unnaturally steady. Impossibly steady, actually. Something in that system is controlling an entire star? I gasped. Possibly, Joe. More likely, something in there is using a stealth field to mask the true image of the star. What we see from outside the system is a false image. Holy. They surrounded an entire star in a stealth field? No, Joe. They enveloped the entire star system in a stealth field, one that extends roughly a tenth of a light year in radius. Everything we see from outside is a false image. Holy crap. And you think we should just waltz on in there, mess with something that can cover a star system with a stealth field? Oh, sure, Joe. No problemo. Whatever is going on in that system, it is Elder technology. Even in my currently reduced capacity, I am an Elder AI. I can transmit the identification codes that will grant us access. None of the ships that have become trapped there had Elder ID codes. I expect previous ships are not simply trapped. They were very likely destroyed. Wait. I waved a hand at his avatar. You expect us to jump in there, and you, what, tell them not to shoot because we're friendly? Hopefully the expression on my face reflected my disbelief. Yes, why? Come on, Joe. Trust the awesomeness. That remark made me roll my eyes. Isn't most of your awesomeness locked away in some dimension of space-time you can't access right now? That hurts, Joe. It's true, I am operating at reduced capacity, but even a tiny part of me contains way more awesomeness than you can imagine. Seriously, don't worry. I got this. Chotek and I shared a look, and for once I completely agreed with my boss. There must be another option for getting this Elder thingamabob you need. We've searched for other Elder stuff before and never had to jump into a star system no one ever returns from. Joe, if there was another option, I would have mentioned it. I will admit, I do not know for certain there is a conduit in this star system. What I do know is that I am running out of time, and the Roach Motel is the most likely place for me to repair myself. We need time to think about this. How long until you have the jump drive working? It is a miracle I can fix the jump drive at all, Joe. You monkeys seriously screwed it up. Give it another day before our first real jump, to be safe. I can continue running repairs as we travel. One day, then. I looked at Chotek again, and he nodded. Despite Skippy's constant grumbling about how badly screwed up the jump drive was, and how overworked he was, he admitted he was happy enough with the condition of the incredibly complicated equipment. On his advice, we performed a short test jump, then a longer jump. On my order, the longer jump was in the direction toward the wormhole we needed to go through if we were ultimately intending to jump into the star system Skippy called Hotel California. Both jumps were successful, and Skippy told me he only needed to perform a few small tweaks to the jump drive before it would be fully operational. He did caution me that 23% of our jump coils were junk. They'd been damaged beyond repair by our clumsy attempts to jump the ship without him and all the strain we had put the ship through since he awakened. Hans Chotek and I had assumed we had a full day to make a decision on what to do, but Skippy pressed me to act as soon as possible.
Chotek called me into his office.
"Colonel Bishop," he said in a tone implying he couldn't believe those two words belonged together. "Your beer can has been asking me every 10 minutes for approval to send this ship on what could be a one-way trip into this Elder Star system." Whenever Chotek was extra unhappy with Skippy, he was my beer can.
"He's been bugging me about it every 5 minutes," I responded.
"Geez, Skippy, you should have named yourself Nagatha."
Nagatha is clearly a female name, Joe, so it wouldn't apply to me," Skippy announced as his avatar popped to life on Chotek's desk.
"Whatever. Do you—"
"See, if I had a name like that, it would be King Nagamemnon," Skippy suggested wistfully.
"Or maybe Emperor Nagustus Caesar. Those are properly regal names for me. They convey the gravitas of my awesomeness, without being, you know, boastfully tacky."
"Of course not," I rolled my eyes.
"Those names wouldn't work, Joe, because I do not nag. I provide regular reminders of important things you need to pay attention to."
"Right. It only feels like nagging."
"Mr. Skippy," Chotek interrupted with irritation, glaring at Skippy's avatar.
I think Chotek liked it better when our friendly alien AI was a disembodied voice he could attempt to ignore when it suited him. Now his avatar could appear anywhere, anytime, and Skippy demanded attention.
"We have been considering alternatives to your plan to send this ship to the... what did you call it?"
Chotek scowled as he searched his memory.
"Ah, yes. Hotel California. Colonel Bishop, have you developed a list of alternate ideas to restore Skippy to functioning, or perhaps an alternative location where we might find this conduit device?"
"No." I looked at Skippy to avoid Chotek's eyes.
"So we have to take Skippy's word about this conduit gizmo he needs, and when he describes it as a conduit, he's doing that for our benefit. It's not actually a thing."
"It's not a thing?" Chotek raised an eyebrow.
"Joe is correct," Skippy acknowledged. "I was describing what I need as a conduit to help you visualize the problem. But what I seek is not a physical device. It is a capability, an ability to create connections between this local space-time and higher phases of space-time. There are multiple possibilities for me gaining access to the capability I require, because Elder technology made extensive use of connections to higher space-time phases."
"Sir, I asked Skippy if there are other places in the galaxy where we might find a conduit, and he says there are. But those places are much farther away, and several are in territories heavily guarded by advanced species we should not risk becoming involved with. The only place we can go, in the time available before 0 hour, is this Elder Star System Skippy has identified."
"A star system," Skippy admits, "even he knows nothing about," Chotek observed.
"No ship or probe has ever returned. Skippy has no accurate memories about the place, and the images we see from outside are manipulated through a massive stealth field."
My boss was a picky, micromanaging pain in the ass. He was also right much of the time.
"I agree with your concerns," I said.
"Skippy, I am not loving this plan.
The alternative, Joe, is the ship suffering a lingering death after the worm gets me and I shut down permanently."
I bit my lip.
"Okay, now I'm liking your plan better and better.
I'm only considering a blind jump into this Hotel California because it appears we have no other choice," Chotek concluded.
"That's the spirit, Chalky," Skippy said happily.
"I knew you had a love for adventure in there somewhere."
"Skippy," I asked, "what is the best-case scenario?"
"Well, that's easy, Joe. We jump in, I transmit my ID codes to deactivate whatever is ripping apart ships there, then I contact the local network, find a conduit, and after we fly close enough, presto, I stomp that worm like a, well, worm, and the old Skippy you know and love is back, baby. Even more magnificent than ever, baby."
"Great. Now what are the odds this best-case scenario will actually happen?"
"Joe, please. We are the Merry Band of Pirates. The odds that everything will go right are somewhere between you've got to be joking and forget about it. When you make a plan, the universe chuckles and rubs its hands with delight because it has a golden opportunity to screw with you."
"Fine." I knew he was right about that. "What's the worst-case scenario?"
"There are so many worst cases, Joe.
I'll give you a sample of the greatest hits.
First, the ship could emerge from our jump as a cloud of subatomic particles because there could be a severe shearing field covering the entire star system. Oops, I should explain that a shearing field is local space-time grid that causes objects embedding in it to be torn apart at right angles. Kind of like the field I used to stop bullets in the Dutchman's rifle range. A system-wide shearing field would be cool, actually, although more cool if I could watch it happen to some other ship, of course. That particular scenario is unlikely. Maintaining a wide shearing field requires enormous power and would tear apart any planets in the system. What else? Oh, yeah, I've got a good one, he shouted excitedly. You'll like this. We could... Skippy, I interrupted. We don't need the gory details, please. I had watched Chotek's face grow pale, then red with anger. Okay, we get it. Worst-case scenario is the ship is destroyed. Yep. Skippy was cheery about that prospect. Or the ship is disabled and drifts dead in space until the power runs out and all you humans die. I might actually be dead before that, unfortunately, so no downside. No downside? Chotek interrupted, his angry internal thoughts to express surprise. I spoke just before Skippy could explain. He means, sir, that we're already certain the ship will fail and the crew will die whether we go to the Roach Motel or not. I winced as I used Sergeant Adams's nickname for the Elder Star System. Referring to the place as a device that kills disgusting bugs was not a good way to sell the idea of going there. No downside, Chotek nodded. Oh, he sighed. What the hell? Why not? We both know what is going to happen. We could argue about this until Skippy runs down to 0 hour, and the decision would still be obvious. When there is no alternative, he scowled at Skippy. A terrible idea is the best one. Colonel Bishop, set course for this Hotel California, or whatever you wish to call it. I know you military people will create a nickname for it if we didn't already have one. Yes, sir. I was usually happy when Chotek approved a plan. Only this wasn't my plan. It was Skippy's plan, and Chotek was right. It was a terrible plan. Skippy told me the jump drive capacitor should be fully charged and checked out in 6 hours. With only 2 reactors, we wanted to have a full charge on the capacitors because we couldn't recharge them as quickly as we used to. After he awakened, Skippy suggested we keep the damaged reactor offline and use its functional components as spares for the other 2 reactors. The good news was, with some of the materials we didn't need, Skippy was manufacturing ship-killer missiles to partly replenish our depleted supply. If we jump toward the first wormhole tomorrow morning, Skippy, how long until we approach the Elder System? 19 days, Joe. The first wormhole we go through will take us most of the way there. It's a long transition, far past our destination, actually. The second wormhole will take us backwards a bit to get there, but that is the shortest and fastest route from here to Hotel California. We will come through the second wormhole 11 days from tomorrow. Then it will be 8 days of jumping by ourselves to reach our destination. There is a wormhole much closer to our destination, but it's dormant, and, you know, I can't screw with wormholes like I used to. After I fix myself, I could reopen that dormant wormhole on our return trip. 6 hours, Chotek declared. Then his scowl turned to a smile. Colonel Bishop, this means you have 19 days to think up an alternative to jumping the ship into the unknown. I'll do my best, sir. Great, I thought. No pressure on me. We went through both wormholes without incident. The first wormhole did not get a lot of traffic. Its 2 ends were 6,000 light-years apart, so it was convenient for long-distance travel, but its 2 ends were actually too far apart. The far end of that wormhole was deep in Bosphorok territory, and there weren't a lot of ships traveling between space controlled by the Theranin and Bosphorok. Those 2 species, roughly equivalent in technology and clients of the Maxalks, hated each other and had as little contact as they could. So that particular wormhole didn't get used often. Plus, the end in Bosphorok territory was in a region with very few habitable planets. The result was the Flying Dutchman came through the first wormhole to find space there absolutely empty. Without Skippy's special awesome abilities, we had to rely on the ship's slow and inadequate sensors to confirm there were no enemy ships waiting to attack us.
As soon as the drive coils were ready, we jumped away almost randomly, simply to clear the area and make us less of a target. Then we jumped again as soon as possible, just in case someone was on our tail. The second wormhole took us back toward the Roach Motel, and this wormhole saw even less traffic. On the near end, that wormhole was 17 light-years from the only habitable star system within 30 light-years, and that habitable star system had another more convenient wormhole only 5 light-years away. On the far end of the second wormhole, there was the Roach Motel and pretty much nothing else. When we emerged from the second wormhole, Skippy confirmed the closest other wormhole was 87 light-years away. There were only 2 star systems within 100 light-years that were not boring, useless brown or red dwarfs: a blue giant star, and the Roach Motel. According to Skippy, the Classo blue giant was older than it could possibly have been without burning out, and it was rotating much too slowly. Skippy concluded the Elders must have screwed with that star somehow altering its rotation and stretching out its lifespan. If we had not been on a clock ticking down to 0 hour, Skippy would have wanted us to fly over to that blue giant and examine it closely. Since we were unquestionably on a deadline, we jumped directly toward the Roach Motel, which was a Class K orange dwarf star, if that means anything to you. It didn't mean anything to me, either. I could have looked up the info on my tablet, but doing that would not give Skippy an opportunity to make fun of my ignorance. With him worrying about his diminished awesomeness and the worm that was trying to kill him, I figured he could use a good chuckle. Besides, while our 2 remaining reactors were straining to recharge the jump drive coils, there wasn't much for me to do, and I was bored. Laying in my bunk, I had been trying to read a book, but found I couldn't concentrate. One of the reasons I was not able to let myself relax and enjoy a leisure time activity was the air vent above my 2 small bunk. Air used to whisper steadily out of that vent, without me ever noticing. Now that we only had 2 functioning reactors, Skippy was conserving power by cycling the air ventilation system on and off. The breeze was still gentle, and the sound barely above a whisper. But when the air cycled on, I felt it on my face and realized the air had not been blowing earlier. That reminded me of our dire situation, and that prevented me from relaxing enough to read for enjoyment. Skippy, can you explain what an orange dwarf star is? I know Earth's sun is a yellow dwarf. Certainly, Joe. Hey, well, I know it's not just a yellow dwarf star with red food coloring. What? Well, to make it orange instead of yellow. Joe, he sighed. Is it possible for you to get any dumber? Well, you want me to try? No. Although, in a way, you are partly right. About the food coloring, I mean. The chemical composition of the star is partly responsible for the spectral lines that give its radiation a primary color, but mostly the color is due to the star's surface temperature. An orange dwarf burns hydrogen like your sun, but at a slower rate. This is important because it means orange dwarf stars last longer in their main sequence, which gives life more time to develop on planets orbiting orange dwarfs. Main sequence? That is the time when the star is fusing hydrogen at its core into helium, and they are in hydrostatic equilibrium. The thermal pressure pushing outward from the fusion core is equal to the gravitational force pressing down from the outer layers of that star. Wait, I know this, I announced, proud of myself. After a star exhausts its supply of hydrogen, it starts burning like helium? Depending on the size of the star, it then either expands into a red giant, something like that, or if its gravity is too much, the star collapses on itself to explode as a supernova? Oh, that is grade my ants on a Joe Bishop curve, okay? In that case, I should award you a Nobel Prize. More like an Ig Nobel Prize. Close enough for the amount of knowledge you require, Joe. Although in terms of astrophysics, your level of knowledge is equivalent to fire hot, water wet, or oxygen good. Fire is hot, Skippy. You can't argue with that. It wouldn't do me any good to argue with you anyway. Hey, question for you. This orange star we're going to, the Elders didn't come from there, right? This was one of their colonies? The Elders did not come from there, correct. Therefore, I assume it is a colony, since I have little useful knowledge about the star system. Okay, so my question is, did they choose an orange star because it lasts longer than a yellow star? Did the Elders plan for their civilization to last long enough for the life of a star to matter? That is possible, Joe. I simply do not know. As you so helpfully pointed out to me several freaking times, my memories of the Elders, of pretty much anything before I awoke on Paradise, are not exactly reliable. However, it does make sense that the Elders would have planned long-term, very long-term. If they had not discovered how to leave their physical form behind, they would very likely still be here today.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
The air from the vent above my bunk was no longer gently caressing my face. If the Elders were still here, would they allow the Maxulks and Rindaloo to be fighting an endless war? And would they allow those two senior species to drag client species into the war with them?
You are asking me to speculate, Joe.
Do it anyway, okay? This is a question that has been bugging me for a while now. The Elders left the galaxy. They left their wormholes and some of their weapons. Devices, Joe. I do not think the Elder civilization had any need for weapons. Whatever you call them. The Maxulks and Rindaloo used those devices as weapons against each other. Then those sentinels the Elders left behind stomped anyone who used Elder weapons. Why? Why would the Elders care who uses the weapons they left behind? The Elders are gone, ascended above us, or wherever the hell they went. If they cared about grubby species screwing with their stuff after they left, they should have taken their stuff with them, or destroyed all of it, or locked it away somewhere. So my question is, why? This Roach Motel we're going to. The Elders surrounded the whole system in a stealth field, and something in there kills any ship that tries to figure out the secrets. Again, why? The Elders are gone, Skippy. Why do they care? He didn't respond immediately, and this wasn't a case of him being busy doing something else that ate up his reduced processing power. This was Skippy thinking hard about something.
Joe, I often disparage your intellectual ability.
Really?
I am shocked, I said, clutching my fist and feigning shock.
When was this?
Very funny.
In this case, you have been remarkably insightful, Joe. The questions you just asked have been bothering me also. Bothering me a lot, like to the point of distracting me.
I do not have an answer, he sighed.
This is another mystery we need answers to.
You can add it to the list of questions, such as who threw Newark out of its original orbit, who or what destroyed Elder sites we found like the dead star moon on our last mission, or who blew away most of Barsoom's atmosphere. You can add that to the list of mysteries we need answers for.
I considered that for a moment. A long moment. We did need answers. Lots of answers. Several times I had declared that the merry band of pirates needed a long-term strategy rather than frantically lurching from one crisis to another. So far I had been too busy simply surviving to do much long-term thinking. Without knowing the full nature of the threats we faced, it was almost impossible to make long-term plans.
Promise me something, Skippy.
Without knowing what you are asking me to promise, I cannot...
This is important.
For reals.
Oh, for reals.
Got it, he replied soberly, without the usual snarkiness in his tone.
Joe, our friendship means more to me than I can say. If I am able to keep a promise to you, I will.
Huh. That was nice, Skippy.
How did... Our friendship is also far more humiliating to me than I can say. My best friend is a monkey.
How pathetic is that?
Well, my best friend is a beer can.
I see your point, he conceded.
What is this promise you want from me?
That we will find answers to these questions, you and me. Even if you fix yourself and contact the collective. For my part, even if Earth is safe permanently, and all the species in the galaxy come together in peace and sing Kumbaya, I want to keep going until we figure out what the hell has been going on around here.
Deal.
His avatar flashed to life on the floor and he held out a holographic hand. I stretched out my hand and used two fingers to mimic shaking his hand. The hologram wasn't solid, so I couldn't actually feel his tiny hand, although my fingertips tingled slightly from the effect of whatever field he used to project the 3D hologram.
Deal, I agreed.
Hey, speaking of questions, do you have any better info on the Roach Motel now that we're closer to it?
No. Come on, Joe, we are still light years away.
Well, yeah, but nothing. I have focused the ship's sensors on the system since we came through the last wormhole. The problem is, I can't trust anything the sensors are telling me. I can't even verify the star is an orange dwarf.
Based on its gravitational effect on other stars in the local area, the Roach Motel star's mass is 76% of Earth's sun, so it should be an orange dwarf. But I can't declare that with any certainty. That worried me. How close will we have to get before you can be certain? Joe, we won't know until we jump in. That's not good, Skippy. I understand. There is no alternative, unfortunately. We can't jump closer in increments, start a light year away and jump something like a tenth of a light year closer? No, that will not work. Other species have tried that. I told you, they even tried sending ships and probes in the slow way, coasting through normal space. Once objects get close to the edge of the system, they disappear. At the edge of the system, they disappear without ever getting close enough to see anything useful. If we're going to get vaporized or whatever, we might as well jump in close enough to see what is inside that stealth field. I hear you. I don't like the idea of jumping in blind, but if we have to, we should jump in close and get it over with. It's not like we have a choice anyway, Skippy added helpfully. Yeah. I tossed my tablet on the bunk and sat up. No way could I relax and read a book with those happy thoughts racing around my brain. I sure haven't been able to think of an alternative, but I'll tell you something for certain. What's that, Joe? If we ever get back to Earth, UNEF Command is going to say I should have done something other than jumping blindly into a Roach Motel. True dat.